was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Ski and I were just asking, like, if you're allowed to have your TV on loud enough to hear on the podcast, but only if you're suffering through the Blazer game on purpose. That's the only way.
Oh, these Blazer games are awesome. What are you talking about?
Must see TV.
Absolutely. Their tank, the tank job against the Thunder.
Oh, that was just peak level.
They're up with 10 minutes left in the fourth, and then they score 4 points in the last 10 minutes. So good. I love it.
One of my favorite things about the Blazers right now is that they're like, the people in their social media teams are still getting paid to do their jobs. And so they are doing full features of players who are playing well right now. These, you've never heard of these guys in your life. So maybe you have, King, because you're like a regular Blazers watcher, apparently. But like, I don't know who Keon Johnson is. He averages like
Drew Eubanks.
Drew Eubanks went to Oregon State.
I know who he is. But like, and who's the Washington State guy? They got a Washington State guy too.
CJ Ellaby.
CJ Ellaby.
CJ Ellaby.
They got Brandon Williams, the Arizona guy too. Yep. All Pac-12 right now.
Pac-12 roots, baby. If you got a lot of Pac-12 guys on your roster, you're not good. You're not good in the NBA. But Keon Johnson, I've never heard of before, but he apparently averages 20 points right now. So
the Warriors got a 2 or 3 on there. Clay and Looney and
Gary Payton Jr.
Gary Payton, yeah.
That's fair.
You gotta get the right Pac-12 players.
There you go.
Because there's only a handful of them.
There's like one or two good ones a year.
I will say, looking at the Blazers roster, looking at the box score from tonight, a 127-94 loss to the Pelicans.
The perfect loss.
I don't know who E. Hughes is.
Elijah Hughes, I believe it is.
Okay. I don't know who R. Perry is, unless he was like a former governor of Florida, I think.
I don't believe Ski knew that his first name is actually Elijah. I'm pretty sure Ski guessed. Yeah.
D. Lozada.
I do know it's
D. Lauzada scored 11 points.
Lozada.
Don't know who that is. All the other ones I know.
D. Lauzada.
He had an okay game last game, too. I had no idea who that Perry is, though, even he was saying it now. Still know who it is.
Reggie Perry.
No idea.
Isn't Lauzada the guy that Jim Carrey used to play on in Living Color or whatever?
Lyle Alzado?
No, it's like Joey Buttafuoco. Joey Buttafuoco!
Reggie Perry, forward from Mississippi State.
All right.
You literally
averaging 6.9 points.
Nice. Literally could have said any college and I would have believed you. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jeromny, big Blazer fan. He's Ski at TSB Ski.
Major Blazer fan.
Major Blazer fan. Number one Blazer fan. Number four Duck Twitter follow, as we know. He's on a lot of lists, guys. He's on a lot of lists. Yeah, when's the Oregonian going to do a list of top Blazer follows and put you up on top of that?
I would not be even close.
No.
I do not do the thing where I'm like, oh, Norman Powell is playing tonight. I'm literally crying. It's Norm. I saw Rocco on my TV tonight and my day is ruined. Oh, glassy-eyed emoji, hashtag Rip City.
Waxing poetic about Rudy Fernandez.
No.
Several times a month.
Hey, see, that's...
That was funny. Like, but the current Blazer thing where they're like, I'm literally crying in a bathroom stall at a Taco Time that I drove off the 206 to get into because, no, you're not. Stop lying. No, it's really not that. Stop. No one cares. No one cares about Robert Covington. I'm sorry.
Covington is an average player, and he was below average playing for the Blazers, too. He wasn't even there that long.
No!
3 years? 3 years, max?
No, two. Like, he was not two? In the bubble. He was not in the bubble.
I think he was in the bubble.
I do not think he was in
the bubble. See, See, Powell was only there for a year. That was it.
I just figured out like what you were talking about when you were talking about people crying. So you remember who was the YouTube person who was crying about Britney Spears or whatever? That's what you're talking about. Like, leave Robert Covington alone. Oh, bring back my normie. Okay, I got you.
Normie.
I got you. Okay. Oh, yes, that's yeah. too much Blazer talk. Let's talk about Ducks basketball instead, right?
Robert Covington played 128 games for the Blazers, and people are still tweeting glassy-eyed emojis. Crestfallen, they saw him on NBA TV.
Blazers legend.
I mean, are you surprised with the fanfare that Roy gets? I mean,
no, but Roy was actually good. Robert Cup, like, it's just a dumb mutation of like, haha, the Spanish Armada. Like, that was a joke. And these, I mean, hey, I'm gonna be ageist here. These are young people. These are like young millennials. You know, as a geriatric millennial, I can judge the young millennials. And as a geriatric millennial, the Spanish Armada was a joke. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. These people aren't joking. They're not joking.
They don't know that Patty Mills is a Blazers legend. They
probably don't.
From other teams.
I think the bigger is them talking about Gary Trent Jr. right now, like he's fucking Michael Jordan. You know, it's like the Blazers missing out on Michael Jordan is the equivalent right now of them trading Gary Trent Jr. That's what it seems like on Twitter.
But they traded him for their normie.
Yeah, they got their normie.
I don't get it. You can't have both. You can't have the GOAT and your normie. Got to pick one. Sorry, guys. So Big Frank left the Ducks. I mean, that's
surprised.
I'm surprised a little bit. I'm, you know, it's a bummer, frankly, because, you know, he's not he's not the best player in the world, but he's a fucking energy guy, that's for sure. And every team needs one of those, especially ones with boring ass guards who just chuck threes they don't make all game. I don't know. It sucks. Like they're bringing in big men to replace him, but they're not
kind of big men. Not really.
Yeah, exactly. So the size they have inside is not really actual size. It's like fake size. It's height. But
height,
you know,
not size.
Yeah, in terms of bodying up anybody, nobody on this roster can do it now. So,
but
I don't get it. He wasn't going to lose minutes.
Isn't that modern day basketball though? Like,
sure.
Do you need the plodding post player?
No, but nice. Well, and he's not plodding.
Well, they got Dante.
He's plodding.
Yeah.
I mean, Kepnong is fun, but if you really want to be like, his blocks are like 1998 dumb blocks where people are like, why don't you just block it and keep it in bounds? Why do you have to put everything in the seventh row?
Hey,
you know what?
You got to send one up to the Raptors every now and then just to get once in a while.
But Kenny Wooten would tap it to, you know.
Well, he reminds me of like early career Jordan Bell, because Jordan Bell had all the athleticism, no polish whatsoever. And then once he, you know, got older, he gained the polish and became a really good player and would make smart plays on defense, you know, and block every single shot in the fucking key, which was nice. He was like 6'9" too, right?
Maybe. I was going to say 6'7" to 6'8".
Yeah, man.
Which makes it even weirder that Frank left, you know, because he has developed from that first year we saw him.
If
he kept the same trajectory, I mean, he could be Jordan Bell, like you were saying.
I don't think so.
Bell wasn't an offensive threat, really, other than dunks.
He's an alley-oop guy, yeah.
Yeah.
No, 100%. But Kepnong, he plays so, like, uncontrolled. It's...
Well, his ceiling was not Bell.
I liked him, but his ceiling was not Jordan Bell.
I wrote down an Altman quote. There will probably be some guys who go and stay, and that's their right. I only want guys who want to be at Oregon and are fully invested in our work ethic needs to get better. And so it was sort of a parting shot to guys who were leaving before they actually parted, because I think he pretty much knew the guys who were going to be leaving. And right now it's Big Frank, and who knows if Big Frank was not a grinder. But
see that Harmon announced he's coming back.
Oh God, no.
Yep, yay. He announced this evening. He's back, baby. Yay. Hashtag unfinished business.
Very excited about that.
Yeah, I kind of thought he would leave, but
He's not gonna. If Will comes back, he's not gonna start. There's no way he could start.
Yeah, when does Will have to make an announcement? Like, I know he doesn't have to until like 2 seconds before whatever the draft you know, declaration is. But I don't know.
I don't know if there is a set date on when you have to. It will mean he's not transferring. At least it's definitely either draft or come back would be my guess. And right now,
I don't know. I wouldn't hold it against anybody to transfer at the last minute too. Somebody would take him for sure. So I don't know.
Oh yeah, he would definitely. I mean, Remy Martin just won a title for Kansas. So I mean, Will Richardson could find a spot at an elite school.
And Remy, I won that title there in the second half too.
He was pretty good.
Speaking of that, 47-29 outscored in the second half. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic work.
Well, they're playing North Carolina played six guys, and I think three of them got hurt.
One vomited.
Yeah. I mean, there was just no chance.
I think Kansas only played seven, though. To be fair,
that is true. But I think look at the box score to that game, and just don't look at the score, but look at like the percentages and all that, and be like, this is a blowout, right? I mean, Kansas shot like 30% from the field.
Well, it was.
There's no way this was a close game.
That's craziness.
Well, I meant North Carolina shot like 30% for the game.
Yeah. Just doing God's work, keeping Carolina from another title. Carolina doing God's work, keeping Coach K from another title.
I just hope Aaron Fentress is doing well after that loss. You know,
I know his
Portland State graduate, but yeah. North Carolina basketball fan, Aaron Fentress.
North Carolina legend, Aaron Fentress.
Yeah, I do love that he is a North Carolina basketball fan and Miami Hurricane / Florida State Seminole football fan, and he went to Portland State. I'm like,
can't
come on,
be both. You can't be both of those.
What are you doing?
You can't be both of those, by the way. You can't.
That's so that you can't be a duck and a beaver. You can't be Hurricane Seminole. Just you can't.
That's you can't crazy. Be any of those three combos.
No.
You can't do that.
I laugh whenever I come across someone who is like, I mean, his deal is he's, you know, that joke of Lakers, Cowboys, Yankees, you know, that's basically what he's doing. It's like, dude, root for a team that's just not that good. Like,
it's like he
you're just picking teams anyway. Pick one that's not historically great.
It's like he just moved to America, barely knows any English,
yes,
and sees the most famous teams and buys their hats.
I mean, his tweet on, I guess it was Saturday night, where he was like, oh, the last time the Tar Heels were in the national title game, I was covering it. And it was against, you know, Final Four against Oregon.
Well, yeah, was he just trolling with that?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Because he knows, like, taking selfies with North Carolina people is going to piss off Duck fans.
He doesn't care. He hasn't. No.
He hates the Ducks. Why would he care?
No, he just.
That's what I'm saying.
I was like, how fun. Just how funny is that? That we sent a guy from Portland as the Oregonian to cover Oregon, North Carolina. And 12 hours later, he's taking selfies with Roy Williams and swimming in North Carolina confetti. It's just.
That's about
whatever.
Right.
The cat's out of the bag on like journalists not playing favorites. That's, you know, we're like 10 years late on that. But dude.
Hey,
you did not go there. Like, I know you like Michael Jordan. You did not go to North Carolina. My God. Stop having your personality based around a player that stopped playing basketball 20 years ago.
He doesn't like you, man. Like, he doesn't know who you are. Why are you doing that?
Just
he doesn't know
it's
you.
Insane.
I thought the rule of journalism was, because you went for Duck games, isn't it? You're not, if you're covering a team, you're not supposed to be a fan and cheer, right?
No cheering in the press box is the rule.
But hey, if you're covering a team, you could still cheer for the other team, right? You just kind of, I think you found a little loophole there.
I don't think there's a rule against rooting for Stanford in Autzen Stadium's press box.
I
don't know. I think the no cheering thing probably extends to everybody for any situation, but there's nothing in writing. I don't think. I don't remember signing anything.
Like I saw a tweet the other night when the Lakers were eliminated from the playoffs, right? And Fentress put out a screen cap being like, ha ha, Michael Jordan would never miss the playoffs. And instantly 1,000 people were like, well, he did twice with the Warriors. And he was like, that doesn't count. If you think that counts, you're an imbecile. You are below me. Your intellect is so small. I can't even acknowledge your presence. Did not happen. Like, yeah, God, I just, this guy, he's a menace.
I remember I was sitting in our row next to Tannen and Myers, and Vernon Adams threw this like just crazy, you know, a Vernon Adams touchdown pass that he just was like off his back foot, last second throws it to like the corner and it's caught for a touchdown. I was like, whoa. And Myers looks at me and is like, I've never been so embarrassed to be sitting next to you ever since I've known you. I think he was kidding, but it was like, oh shit, okay, yeah, you're right. I should probably yell.
It's weird though. That's what I'm saying. That is weird. I mean, you can't be amazed by someone's crazy feat they did on the field.
I think he was mostly bullshitting, but I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't yell. But that Vernon Adams is dope. I don't care. I'd say that if I was a fucking USC fan. That dude is rad.
Talk about that, you know, the Jordan and LeBron thing right now. No one ever really compares like LeBron now with the Lakers than they did with Jordan with the Wizards, though, because that's where they should be being compared right now. And LeBron is
I saw a graphic.
Damn near going to win a scoring title.
I saw a graphic today.
That's big.
That
by the
was
way,
from
Steve.
Like, I can't remember if it was Fox Sports or ESPN or Yahoo. It was, you know, a verifiable thing. And they were it was a crack on LeBron. And they went. And I had to check to see if it was like a real tweet and not Ballsack Sports or something. And they were like, and they go, before he tore his meniscus 11 games into the season, Michael Jordan was averaging blah, 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 blah. King. Like, oh my God. A 10 game sample size. Like, we gotta stop. He doesn't play. Oh my God. I will say 90s nostalgia is one of the weirder places because it's just recent enough to where like TV and kind of the internet, but you know, things were in our face. Like if you were a Willie Stargell fan in the 1977, like not a lot to go off of. You can't really show it. And it just the Jordan stuff transfers into the Tiger Woods stuff.
Is
like this? Was,
is this that guy 90s has, for Tiger? You think?
I was going to bring
what was this.
He was on video games for PlayStation in the late 90s.
Late 90s. Yeah.
I was going to bring that up because I had somebody say today that nobody moves the needle ever like Tiger Woods does.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
I'm like that. That's not true. Like it's not true. Like just remember what Michael Jordan was in the 90s, like just worldwide, not just NBA, not just sports, not just our country. Motherfuckers in China, motherfuckers in Japan, motherfuckers in Russia. Like Michael Jordan fucking spawned Luka. You know what I mean? Like Luka doesn't exist without Michael Jordan because basketball's not as big as it is over there. Without Michael Jordan in the 90s. Like, it's fucking facts, man. The dude was making movies. The dude was doing everything. Tiger Woods is huge. Like, no one's bigger to their sport than Tiger Woods. Like, nobody's bigger. Like, Michael Jordan, like, there were tons of really good basketball players in Michael Jordan's era. Like, basketball would have survived without him. It wouldn't have been the same, golf is fucking nothing without Tiger Woods. Like, it's nothing. Nobody cares about golf without Tiger. Now everybody's paying attention to the Masters.
Hey, that's a bold statement, because if some of our listeners are big like Jack or Arnie fans, that's those crazy golf people have that argument with Tiger and Jack, like they do with LeBron and
guess
Jordan,
what? Kind of There's thing. Fewer crazy golf people than there are fucking crazy basketball people. Like, it is what it is. Crazy
is
football people, crazy baseball people, you know, like.
But he did elevate.
Every sport is bigger than golf. Like, who are we fucking kidding?
Well,
you know,
that is a nod to Tiger that he got that big playing fucking golf.
Yes.
I mean,
but
basketball
to say,
is always going
to
be big.
To say he's the biggest ever is to stop it. Fucking Babe Ruth in the tens or whatever, you know, like the aughts, Babe Ruth. Come on, like cut it out.
The weird thing
with
Tiger,
Babe was playing in the aughts.
I don't know when Babe Ruth was playing. I have no idea.
The thing about Tiger that I don't quite get is there are two kinds of Tiger fans. There's the one that is like, oh, I want to watch him play because I watched him play in 2000. I bought his game on the Wii. You know, like, I grew up watching Tiger Woods. Nostalgia, hell of a drug.
Sure.
Get it. And then there are the Tiger Woods people that are like, I think he can win. He said he has a shot. Tiger Woods said he's only playing because he thinks he can win. He shot one under today. So it's not like he shot 10 over and is completely gone.
He's tied for 10th, which is good. Like, way better than he should be. Like 14
it's
months
one,
after like an accident
one,
where he almost lost
one
his
day.
Leg.
He's not winning.
He'll make the cut. He'll make the cut, I think.
Sure.
But him having to walk 4 days, I don't think he's going to hold up for four
that's
days
it.
Of walking.
That's the problem, is he has to walk. Yeah. He's like 14 months off nearly losing his leg, and he has to walk that much.
But like you were saying, Tiger's the biggest or whatever. This is kind of my argument on like why Tiger, well, obviously, global icon, super big. I'm not saying he's not. We have no standards for Tiger Woods. He plays in an individual sport and has one major in 13 years. One. LeBron is like, and yeah, I'm not saying LeBron is better at his sport than Tiger. It's not my thing. That's not what I'm trying to do. LeBron is like 14 months removed because of COVID timing and everything from winning a title. And people are like, bum. And he's 14. This guy's 13 years in one major. Like, when are like people gonna just be like, oh, I think it's cool watching him? Like when Jordan played for the Wizards, there were no standards there. It was just like, oh, that's cool. They're playing at Staples.
We're just happy he's there. We're happy.
Kobe's
he's
gonna
still
drop
playing.
36 on him, and Shaq is gonna score 40, and the Wizards are gonna lose by a lot.
It's like, oh man, it is gonna suck when he's gone. I'm really happy to be like watching him while he's still around, a legend.
I just don't quite get the Tiger allure. Like I've said,
why
it before
people
on the podcast,
watch golf?
No, not even that.
Sentence.
Tiger Woods is an asshole. Like, Tiger Woods is a bad person.
Horrible human.
We all root for bad people. That is not my point. Like, we all do. We listen to bad people. If you like a Michael Jackson song, he's a bad person. But at a certain point, I just move on. There are good golfers. They're good golfers.
If you're a golf guy, yes.
He made golf what it is today. He brought all these guys up that are, you know, the elite
that's
players
great.
Currently.
Good for him. Yeah, watch him. Don't tell me he's a contender to win multiple majors.
But see, but golf is more of a nostalgia thing because, I mean, they still trot out those old guys to the first tee there to tee off every Masters.
Hey, Larry Mize and like Jose Marie Olazabal were playing today.
That's the thing. Like
Freddie Couples.
I get it. Boom Boom was out there. I totally get it. But
that's the Masters, by the way, is once you win, you're invited back
forever.
For life.
Which is great. Yeah. That's great. Just don't tell me he's a viable threat.
You know what our list should have been this week is top three golfers who are cooler than Tiger Woods. I can name a
David
couple
Duvall.
Of Bubba Watson, Greg
John
Norman.
Bubba Watson. Are you fucking serious?
The Shark.
Oh, we got a golf debate. Bubba? Oh, we got a golf fight.
You had me out with Duvall because he rips through like two cans of Coke around.
Absolutely.
Duvall, hell yeah.
I love Duvall.
Dustin Johnson with the wraparound Oakleys or whatever. That's cooler than Tiger Woods. Come on. What are we talking about?
No, John Daly just killing fucking marbs out
easy.
There. And
crushing heaters. There's your top three.
Crushing done. Heaters.
Done. You think anybody was bigger than Michael Jordan back then? What, are you going to say Larry Bird was better than Michael Jordan? No. But Karl Malone? You like Karl Malone better than Michael Jordan? Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here.
I will say it's funny that we watched a bunch of finals with John Stockton and Jeff Hornacek was
Greg Ostertag.
Mark Eaton.
God, was supposed to stop the Bulls. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same thing as the Durant, Steph, Clay, Draymond Warriors. Exactly the same.
Who are you dudes trying to fool, man?
Hey, beat Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter. Jesus.
So opening day's today.
Yeah.
Do you guys watch any ball?
I'm watching the Royals and Guardians.
Nice.
Guardians.
How'd that go for your Royals?
Zach Greinke came back home better than ever.
Oh yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr., the number one prospect in the country.
You guys
game winning double.
You got that dub. Nice work.
Yeah, he hit the go ahead double in the eighth.
Royals
1-3-1.
Best team in baseball after one day.
First
Let's
in
go.
Central. Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. Taking the division, baby. Yeah. How about you, Ski?
I'm currently watching Shohei pitch.
I forgot about that. I need to put that on.
I did watch. I did throw on some of the Braves. Was on ESPN, and they had. I do love it from the COVID season that they had a guy mic'd up for half an inning playing the game.
Wow.
Joey Votto was out there mic'd up talking to him.
I like that.
Fucking fantastic. I don't know why it took them so long to do these. Because they mixed in, having the guy in the dugout talk. There's something different when they're on the field, bullshitting with guys on the bag. And
like Mookie saying, oh, that one's over my head or whatever.
Exactly.
I like that. That's a great idea. Is that like a thing they're doing this season? Or was it just I hope so.
I hope it is too. I didn't know if it was just an opening day kind of thing, but
they were interviewing him during the game?
During the game.
Yeah, talking to him.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Huh.
I can't believe they'd let him do that. It's crazy.
Yeah. He wasn't even hiding the mic. That was an external mic on the
car. Super into it. You guys probably saw it. My A's trading away the last bastion of good players on their roster the other day to Sean Manaea to the Padres. So Manaea is not incredibly good. He's good, big, tall lefty. But he's like a fan favorite. Like everybody who's an A's fan loves Sean Manaea. And so that was sort of the last kick in the nuts in terms of the players for the A's getting traded away for basically nothing. I think I saw the A's total salary for their team is $30 million right now. Guys,
which is lower than their roster in 1991.
It's like the same or something, wasn't it?
It was the same. Okay,
the same. Like Jesus.
Anthony Rendon playing third for the Angels tonight is making $35 million a year.
That's an ownership group who is getting ready to sell and move a team.
This is clearly, they're clearly leaving right now. I mean,
100%.
You don't fire sale everything like this. Even though it's like, you think you'd want to keep assets for someone to be like, it's worth paying this crazy amount, whatever it's going to be.
I don't think so. You'd like I think the people who they're going to sell to and who are buying them are not interested in paying big salaries either.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yep. Oh, that one. It hurts. I think Steven Piscotty is the highest paid player on the A's right now. He's making like $5 million per.
By the way, think
of the percentage of that. So $5 million for one guy on the whole roster, and their whole roster makes $30 million.
One-sixth of their roster.
It's amazing.
Piscotty.
Amazing. What are we setting the over under at for how many games they win this year?
See, they're annoying. They're the Rays. They're annoying. They'll find ways to win.
There's fewer games. There's fewer games, right? But how many games? Was it like 160? I forget.
They might be trying to get all of them in.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get them all in. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what do we want to set it at? Like over under A's wins like 35.
they'll go over 35.
Okay.
They'll win 72.
72.
I think 60 is the number.
I will go under 60. I'll go under 60.
I could see 57, 58, but they are annoying.
They got rid of their two good starters. Like I think they have one good starter left. Like to be
it's like a Montas.
Right? Montas, exactly. That's it.
But they're the A's. They have seven guys in the chute ready to come in and shove so they could deal them in 4 or 5 years.
That's fair. That's why they trade for all these prospects.
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah, I guess so. That's what's gonna happen, right? I'm gonna learn who these guys are this year, and then they're gonna get decent, and then they're gonna be gone in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, the A's are essentially the farm team for the everybody six else. Rich teams.
Yeah. Whoever actually does want to spend money. All right. That's enough of me crying about the A's. Do you guys watch any WrestleMania?
Absolutely.
Man, I'm so jealous. Like, honestly, I wasn't hyped for it until I saw people talking about it while it was happening. And I was like, oh, shit, that looks fun. And then watching all the videos of it afterwards, like Pat McAfee. Like McAfee doing
so good.
His match was fantastic, and then he does the beer thing with Stone Cold, then gets stunned, and the spout of beer out of his mouth after he gets stunned is the best thing I've ever seen, man. Like that's remember how much The Rock used to sell when he'd get stunned by Stone Cold? He would do like he'd almost do like a backflip after Stone Cold would stun him. Like it was up there, man. Like the spout of beer when he gets stunned is so good.
It was needed because Stone Cold giving Vince McMahon the stunner
was always the worst
stunner.
McMahon was always the worst at it.
No, he's
80 years old. What do you expect?
But even Stone Cold, there was some age there too. Where
oh yeah,
it was 80%, 75% Vince. But Steve, man, his knees were looking a little locked for most of the night.
Yeah,
I mean, he had the original double neck and back. Like I said he's the original double knee brace guy, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's been rocking those since the early 2000s.
Every offensive lineman wears them now.
Yeah,
the neck thing, like Owen Hart, like broke his neck, right? Isn't that what happened? They like pile drive him.
Didn't they drop him from the roof?
He actually pile drived
him. That was the payback for hurting Stone Cold. He dropped him from the roof.
Yeah, so he died. Yeah.
Is that not how he died?
Yes.
I thought he died.
That's how he died. Okay. Yeah.
Owen Hart died. He was flying in a zip line into the ring, fell and hit his head on the
turnbuckle.
They outlawed the pile driver for a while because of that.
They're
like nerve damage.
For a nation of laws.
He still has nerve damage. Nation of laws. Yeah. If the WWE teaches us anything.
I mean, that could be a new group, a conglomerate in the WWE called the Nation of Laws.
That's perfect.
But I will say that
they literally come out with briefcases.
The biggest match ever, on Sunday.
Johnny Knoxville?
No, it was Roman Reigns versus
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar. So bad.
Yeah.
Just an appallingly terrible match. It was awful.
What was so bad?
I must have caught it.
It just wasn't entertaining. And Brock Lesnar is. I don't find him electric. He doesn't do it for me. And like,
he's just big.
When I was watching it, it flashed back Goldberg. Cause I'm like, Goldberg wasn't actually a good wrestler.
Right.
He would just eventually like pile drive someone and then go, while fireworks went behind him.
Jackhammer.
That's right.
He is Goldberg. Like, but without the charisma. You know what I mean?
I don't. I don't get how he ascended to number one status in wrestling.
By the way, you said Goldberg. I thought you said Goldust.
Oh, I love Goldust. Oh.
I was like, that is very different.
just licking nipples to get people to submiss. Goldust. I say this cautiously. What a creepy character that was. He just slinked around like a cat and then licked nipples and humped noses. And it was just very bizarre.
Hey, he wasn't even top five creepy guy during his era, too.
Yeah, it's true. Doink.
Doink.
Val Venus.
Val Venus. Oh, no.
I mean, there was a lot of fucking very questionable guys during that time.
Did you guys watch the Johnny Knoxville?
I saw
Knoxville and the McAfee.
Yeah,
right.
So Saturday was it was not great. It was basically, oh, here comes Chris Pontius to show his penis. He's distracted. Yeah. Oh, from out of the turnbuckle, it's Wee Man. Who could have seen that coming? No one, because he's short. John, you get the joke.
Did Pontius do the party guy outfit?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
It was good. I mean, it was fun. It was fine. He's not a wrestler. Whatever.
For sure.
It was better than like Rodman and Malone in 1997 or whatever. But yeah, Saturday was way better than Sunday. I was so disappointed in Sunday. I don't follow wrestling like the storylines, but when I know the names, and Sunday just it's kind of a wet fart to me.
Well, they were clearly putting everything on Stone Cold, right?
But he even came out on Sunday too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, he was. That's what I'm saying. He was Sunday, right? Wasn't Stone Cold?
He was Saturday.
Like,
he was both days.
He was both. Yeah. Okay. His Sunday appearance was the surprise.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, WrestleMania was fun. That's my thing about Comcast sucks, but I have it for two reasons: Pac-12 Network and the free wrestling events twice a year that I want to watch.
There you
that's
go.
I wonder. I mean, Peacock had to give them a shit ton of money, right?
Absolutely.
For this, because I mean,
yeah,
those things weren't cheap.
But I will say,
yeah,
that I think this WrestleMania, I don't watch them all. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not that big. I feel like it was a farewell tour to our era, because it was like Triple H, who retired for health reasons, gets, Stone Cold came out. There were just a couple of other
Undertaker,
Rey Mysterio
still doing his thing.
There was a little Vince McMahon came out one last time for a bad stunner.
So this is kind of the curtain call WrestleMania kind of thing.
Quietly, they didn't announce it that way, but there was enough old, WCW, WWF, like with Nitro and Raw, whatever callbacks. So I was like, okay, we can close the door on, that era, I guess.
They were missing out on, they needed to have Jerry the King Lawler there.
The WrestleMania pregame shows were the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Did you see any of those, Ski?
I did not, no.
They're out there outside of AT&T Stadium doing 2 hours of pregame like it's college game day.
Uh-huh.
And being like, you know what? I really think this might be the time. This is Austin Theory's time to shine. I don't know. I think it's Sasha Banks' time. And Booker T's up there. It was so bad. Because I'm like, okay, I get it. It's written, predetermined, whatever. That doesn't bother me. But I did not know that they did 90 minutes to 2 hours of
fake
analysis.
It's fake analysis. That's amazing.
Absolutely hilarious. And they had this like obligatory British guy in a loud suit.
I don't know if they still have it, but I thought there was like a WWE channel, like TV. NFL Network. Which I assume they would do the same thing where they just like pundits talking about they would wrestling do, for 6 hours a day.
They would do a lot of history stuff because they released a lot of that on YouTube too.
So
Jerry the King Lawler was on the pregame, the pre-event show, which was very sad because I feel like once you get kicked off of ringside analysis to 2 hours of fake pregame show, you're still collecting six figures easy, but they're really just telling you, like, King.
Well, that's it. That's, you said it. It's the outgoing 90s era or whatever. And he's part of it. He's a big part of that.
There was no puppies.
That's what I was going to bring up. They were needing him because I did see some screen caps from someone that posted them that whoever was fighting Ronda Rousey for like the women's title, there was a couple titties coming out in that match. And that just reminded me of the King would always just start going wild.
This is such a bad, I'm blinking on her name. Yeah. Who's the high flying diamond Rolex wearing?
Ric Flair,
Charlotte Flair.
Oh,
Charlotte. It was Charlotte Flair's nipple. Yeah. High flying son of a gun. Yeah. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Wee!
Woo!
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 I was gonna say last week was Letterkenny. Now it's
Ric Flair. We haven't started talking about Debo Samuel yet. We can't do that.
That's for when
guys get paid too much money with contracts. That's gonna be Debo Samuel real soon. We haven't started talking about him.
I mean, let's go to that. So when he's making 28 mil, fake number, right? 28 mil for 4 years, whatever.
It's going to be more than that, but yeah.
30 million. Why doesn't, why shouldn't he make more than Tyreek Hill?
You know why? It's because there's still guys who need to sign deals, and he's probably going to be the last one because the Niners don't have the money to pay him yet. They're not going to until Jimmy's gone. And so he's going to be the last one, which means he's going to get paid the most.
He did unfollow the San Francisco 49ers on Instagram.
Remove them from all of his socials. I love that that's the first move for guys who are in contract negotiations.
It usually is,
You know what? The Niners are in absolutely no hurry whatsoever to sign him to a new deal. Like, they want to do it. They've talked about, they're like, we're going to do it before the season starts. Like, it's going to happen. It's a huge priority for us. But he still has, he's on his rookie deal. He is owned by the 49ers contract wise until the end of next season. Like, they don't have to do anything right now if they don't want to. Well, he can hold out. He could. That's up to him. But it's like, you know, they don't.
Well, that's what I said. They could trade him if they.
It doesn't. But he still gets paid like $1 million a year. It doesn't really do anything for them. I mean, they could just let him sit. Like, they'd rather let him sit than trade him to somebody who could, like, fucking kill him, you know? Let him sit. I mean, let him hold out. Fuck it. They don't need him until, like, a couple weeks before the season starts. So, fuck it. He wants to be a kid. Let him be a kid.
It's going to be fascinating 4, 3, 5 years down the road to see if the paying of wide receivers like we're seeing right now is actually worth it, because we know know that paying running backs is not worth it. We know that paying like elite safeties like Jamal Adams, granted he's a quote unquote box safety, a little bit different, not worth it. It'll just be quarterbacks and left tackles.
That's it. And the Niners just paid Trent Williams.
Defensive end,
so.
You know, like, yeah. It'll just be
DN will always keep that price up, I think. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like the market will be soured looking back on it because of Tyreek Hill.
A bunch of bad deals are like just happened and are about to happen. That like 4 years, you're absolutely right. Like 4 years down the road, we're going to look back and be like, man, how the hell did they give that dude that contract? That is crazy. A couple of them are going to pan out. Just
of course. Oh, sure.
Law of averages, but
yeah, like it because Tyreek Hill is kind of the poster child of it right now. Because he said, "I want to be the highest paid. I want to go to this city, so I'm here getting the most." He doesn't play with a quarterback that can really. Granted, Tyreek Hill is still going to be good, and you can throw him screens, and he's going to be electric. He just does not have the quarterback that can take the lid off, which isn't his fault. It's not his problem. But it will be interesting to see if people look back and go, man, Tyreek Hill only had 1,100 yards and then 900 yards. And then
does he get 1,000 yards this next season?
If I'll he plays the by whole accident.
16 games, because 17 games now, all the numbers are skewed for right, your like milestones. But
yeah, I'll say he does. But is it as impactful? I don't know.
Debo's such a weird thing because he didn't have anything close to a year like last year before last year. No. Like, you know, he was you know, probably their best receiver the year before. I mean, they had Emmanuel Sanders too, you know, like Kittle. So, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm talking about 2019 because 2020 was a shit show. Everybody was injured, like including him. So whatever, but he was injured that year before he was a rookie. And so he wasn't really a huge focal point. Last year is his only elite year. And it was fucking elite. Like, he is the best player on their offense. They absolutely cannot function without him in the running and the passing game. That was not the case before last year. And so it's like, yes, he's your most valuable player, but he hasn't been consistent his whole career. And so if you're going to throw fucking like $35 million a year at this guy, man, that's risky. Like, it's risky, especially the way he plays too, where it's mostly physical.
I don't see why now with the caliber of these kids that are coming out of college now, wide receiver, you could plug and play these guys in that you're not going to lose that much for $35 million difference. Right,
but I will say the difference is that Debo, granted, it will shrink in his short life.
Yeah.
His shelf life, I mean.
He's Tim Lincecum.
But yeah, he runs the ball, he catches the ball. It's and like Tyreek Hill, yeah, quote unquote, runs the ball too, but it's not the same thing.
Not from the eye back.
No, you know? It's completely different. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, he's no Cordarrelle Patterson, but
there's arguments both ways, man. There's arguments that it's like, no, you should never pay a wide receiver that much money. Also, a guy who was injured, a guy who plays physical like that and is bound to get injured again. But the amount of shit he does for your team, it's hard to get rid of a guy like that, you know?
But I mean, I'll be the devil advocate guy. He's quasi a system guy because Niners are gimmicky.
Oh, no, wait, hold on.
Charles Kelly guy over here.
Hold on. Was this an official announcement from Ski that Debo Samuel is a system wide receiver? Is this official? Yes. Are you officially saying it to my face?
He's a gimmick player.
Who is?
Debo Samuel is.
Is what?
Say the whole sentence.
A gimmick. Debo Samuel is a gimmick player.
No.
Debo Samuel is a system player.
You are here, folks. You were here first.
Wow.
No.
If he's on any other team, he gets 80% of production that
80%. Oh my gosh.
The Niners have.
These are bold claims. Oh my God. These are bold. You are spicy. Hey.
Nothing but the hot takes on this podcast, baby.
Oh yeah.
The fire takes.
Woo! Scorching. I'm just glad we got it on the record. Because you were pandering there. You didn't want someone to clip your, you know, clip the audio.
To clip
actively,
it.
I'm glad actively I got you
on
it.
The record. Hey,
when Debo goes to a different team after this year, then I'll be proven correct.
Is that another exclusive?
Another bomb.
Debo
right
Samuel
there.
In 2023.
How many catches?
When he's playing for the Ravens.
Not the Ravens.
Hey, Ski. How many catches does he get with the Ravens, Ski? How many catches?
He's going to get a lot of catches still because Lamar's a gimmicky quarterback. That's exactly what he wants.
Say that on record.
Hey, Ski, don't avoid the question. How many catches, Ski?
75 catches.
Oh, he was going to say 60.
75.
He was going to say 60.
He wanted to say 60.
He did.
And I will say he'll only have like 15 outside of 15 yards.
Oh, this is outrageous. Oh my God.
All he does is knit yak. He's a yak guy. Wow. You know, Debo, I saw a stat or something. He had like 19 touchdowns last year. He wasn't targeted in the end zone once all season last year. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
You can probably look a little deeper. I bet every time in the red zone, I don't know if he caught a ball past the line of scrimmage.
No, he's running the ball.
He'd get those quick little, you know, receiver screens and get to it.
So, okay. Niners fan, I fucking love those plays so much. Like when they throw those quick screens to Debo Samuel, fuck, it makes me happy. I'm like, he's getting 7 yards at least. Like it's a given. But how many fucking sure things do you have in sports? Like Debo Samuel on
Kelsey up a seam or Gronk up a seam. That's you
saying. Yeah, Gronk up a seam. That's one.
Yeah.
I do remember before 21-10, 7 seconds left in the first half, Kansas City, Cincinnati, when a screen pass, a quick screen to Tyreek Hill was an automatic yard and a half. Until it wasn't.
Yeah. No, I'll say another sure thing. Tom Brady quarterback sneaks.
Oh, yeah. That one's automatic.
By the way, Garoppolo is also really good at that. Whoever gets Garoppolo, they're gonna be the best quarterback sneak team in the NFL, guaranteed. That was a thing. That was actually a thing last year when they signed Alex Mack to be their center. Garoppolo taught Alex Mack how to do the proper quarterback sneak technique, and Alex Mack, the press asked him about it. So what's the trick? He's like, I'm sworn to secrecy. I literally will never tell anybody. But there is a specific technique to it. And
did he learn that from Brady?
There's like 5 people in the NFL who know it. Did he not tell anybody?
Was that a Brady thing that he learned?
Totally. Yeah. It's the exact same thing. Like you watch it, it's the exact same thing. It's unbelievable. Like guaranteed first down every single time. Like third or fourth and short. Guaranteed. He was like 16 of 16 last year or something like that. It was insane. All right, sign Debo, make it happen. I'm going to be patient, but if we get to like training camp and they still haven't done it yet.
He gone.
He gone.
He gone.
He gone.
I'm saying that you would have a sad Alex on this podcast and
in life.
You would have a Salix.
Do the Niners have any first round picks this year?
They do not. They traded those for their, supposed starting quarterback next year.
All right.
The Dolphins got their first round pick, I believe. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close. We're getting pretty close here to we can start deep diving into the draft.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about small hands quarterbacks and you know the edge rushers and yeah.
That's. No one has a fucking idea. I've seen Thibodeau go as 2 and like fall to like 15.
I think Michigan dude goes ahead of him because I think Michigan dude is better than him. I watched a lot of both of them last year, and I actually think he is. Like they're both great, obviously, but Hutchinson is fucking unstoppable, man. He is so good.
No, I do love that they're like, well, Hutchinson is unstoppable until you consider that he has T-Rex arms and not a single defensive end with his short arms has ever made a Pro Bowl, but he's going to buck the trend. He'll be the one. Also, his safer pick code for white in the NFL.
Yeah, he's the safer pick.
Well, especially when you've heard if you've heard what they've kind of been saying about Thibodeau.
He uses big words. And
he sure does.
Sentences.
Who wants a guy?
And he has perspective.
Who wants a guy with perspective who is like good business sense? Who wants that?
Except for they're spinning it as like outspoken, potential like problem in the locker room.
Kayvon Thibodeau is militant because he released an NFT.
Yeah. God damn.
NFL draft talk. It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Because at least in the NBA, they can be like, ah, Jalen Green. I'm just making up a guy because he's a rookie. Yeah, he's 18. He's a real asshole. But you want to know what? He's got a 48-inch vertical, and he's 6'9" with a wingspan like Shaq. We're going to draft him. Where in the NFL, like, I don't know. This guy
smoked weed.
This guy was a biology major. Does he take football serious enough? He likes science.
He's not good enough for chemistry.
Interesting.
Not a math guy.
Oh, is a
Yeah. By the way, Militant. Nice callback to the Airheads podcast where Ski got all racist. Yeah.
Hey, all right. 90s trends, man.
Yeah, man. Casual racism against black people. Ski, living the dream of the 90s. 90s are alive. All right, let's do our list. How about that? Who came up with the idea for our list?
Which list are we doing?
Well, it's the it was you. You came up with
it. Was the walk-up?
It was.
Okay. So in the spirit of opening day, we can smell the cut grass. You can hear the peanuts being cracked. You can see father and son, daughter and mother, non-binary and QBTI all coming together for the common bond of America's pastime. What are your top three walk-up music songs?
Ooh, I was surprised how quickly this list came to me. I was like, man, what am I going to choose for this out of all the songs in the history of Earth? And then I started looking through songs and I was like, oh yeah, this one. Oh, fuck yeah. This one. All right. Yeah, I'm good. My list came together quick. I don't know if you guys struggled with this at all, but I'm good.
No, not really. I kind of just pick songs I like. So
I'm going to try to play them. Hopefully YouTube doesn't do ads. But so we'll see how this goes.
You can put this in post.
Yeah, right. Songs in post. We'll see how this goes. Yeah. King's better at this than I am. My number three is the mystical song "Here I Go," and let's see if I can get
here. I go.
I don't care. Here I go. That's it. You really just need
to be.
Here I go. Here I go. Ah, fire. Fire jams, yo. All right, who's next?
I guess I'll go. I kind of threw in also kind of the walk-up music as like a closer as well.
I like that.
Because, you know, a lot of the closers have
Enter Sandman.
Yeah, so my number three is Metallica, Ride the Lightning.
There you go.
Because you get that, it's like a crack of lightning, then it like builds up until, you know, you get like a couple steps. You open up the gate right when like the hook drops after it. Yeah.
Ride the Lightning. That's... Which one was their first one?
Right, that was like, their first album, I'm pretty sure.
And then Master of Puppets or whatever. Yeah. Something like that. I listened to Metallica for like 3 years in middle school, I think. Good era. All right, what's your three, King?
My number three, because I'm all about confusion. I want confusion of the mind. I don't need to come out with something mainstream. So my number three walk-up song is this.
Is it the Home Depot?
Yeah.
It's brick by brick. I'm coming for you, pitcher. Brick by brick.
That is the fucking best. Oh, so number one's definitely going to be the College Game Day music, right?
Do, 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 do.
All right, let's see if I can get this to work. My number two. Oh nope, that's an advertisement. Let's Phil for 15 seconds. My number two is Nelly's Tip Drill. I don't know. Do you remember that song?
Toxic masculinity over here.
Oh yeah.
All right, I give up on playing the songs. There's like a skit, for God's sake. Must be an ass because it ain't your face. I need a tip drill, a tip drill. Remember the BET Uncut video version of that song?
That is not for the baseball demo.
I believe in that video, they literally slid a credit card
Absolutely. Yes. Try doing that with your partner and see how that goes.
Yeah, see how that goes. All right, Ski.
All right. Well, with WrestleMania, I got some wrestling music in my mind. So my number two would be the Harlem Heat entrance music for my walk-up music.
How does that go again?
It goes like ice, ice, ice. Cold, 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 and it's dun, 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 dun.
Oh, so good.
Do you not remember that? Oh, it was so good.
So good. Honestly, like we could choose like dozens of wrestler walk-ups for it too.
I mean, yeah, just stone cold glass breaking.
For real. That's it.
See, that would be a great walk-up song if you don't take hacks in the batter's circle. You just come straight out of the dugout.
So that's immediately the weird thing with like the the Attitude Era wrestling and stuff. They used to like make their own entrance music. Now I think they just pick popular songs and. They're actually like paying out the money to use other people's music instead of actually creating it. So I'm surprised hitters and closers haven't done that yet. Create their own music for walk-up music.
No chance. That's what you got. Dan-o. For a closer?
No chance.
Yeah, now. Exactly.
Give me a break. It's easy.
Degeneration X.
What's your 2K?
So my number two is because I would be slow and plodding. And if I got a home run or a double, I'm going slow. I'm walking to the plate just like molasses. Just so annoying. Finish your sentence. Take a hack. Get to second base.
What song is it?
Slow Ride.
Oh, okay. I could barely hear it. That's pretty good, though. Is it me?
Yep.
I think it's my one, huh? Okay, let's see if this... Well, let's listen to this Jimmy Dean ad first before we get to the song.
Jimmy Dean.
Can you hear this at all? It takes a little bit to get going.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is probably enough, but you get the actual rapping in there. Come on.
So say walk up, you only got like 10 to 15 seconds that they run it. I must have superpowers, rap 225,000
hours. Get a calculator, do the math. All day. All day. All day. Give me Too Short, Blow the Whistle. This song's like making a big resurgence lately too, by the way. Like a lot of people are playing Blow the Whistle lately. I think it had to do with like the Too Short and E-40 thing where people remembered that Too Short made fucking bangers.
And for like Too Short made like 50 albums
for like 20 years, dude. Exactly. Yeah, if you make that many albums, you're going to have like a dozen or so really good songs, and he does. So
I'm going to go against you a little bit, Braga, because of that song. Because like I said, you only got like 10 or 15 seconds. You need something that kind of starts hitting early.
I'm cool with that beat.
You're good with just the instrumental,
I'm cool with
essentially?
That beat.
All right.
Boom.
All right.
Boom, 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 boom. That's fucking fine, everybody right. In the stands hears that beat. It's on. It's on. Or you could do the cliche thing and do Genuine's Pony or something. I don't know.
Bad song, by the way.
It's what?
It's a bad song.
It's a bad song.
Yeah, no one actually likes it.
Yeah,
people had sex to it, so people liked it. For that
in a club,
it hits
pretty hard in the club,
baby.
Yes, it does. So to speak. Was that it?
No,
go.
I'll go with my number one. All right, mine is more just to annoy everyone. So my number one is Justin Hawkins, This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us. You ever heard that?
Yeah, I'm going to need you to sing it for us, Ski.
I cannot hit the high notes that this guy does.
Same podcast. Ski is going to sing us songs and have the hottest takes on Debo Samuel this side of the Mississippi.
I don't got it. You need the synthesizer. It's a synthesizer song.
And Ski's singing skills match the hotness of his takes.
See, it can't. I know where my range is. My range is 90s grungy kind of singers level.
Know your limitations.
Yeah. I do.
Well, in 90s boy bands too, obviously.
Nah, see,
you can do NSYNC, man. Come on. Everybody does NSYNC. Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake. Now number
Tell
9.
Me why. I never want to hear you say. Come on, Ski.
I don't want it that way.
Ski doesn't want it that way, ladies and gentlemen.
Now that you see that we're falling apart.
The way that it used to be. Yeah. I don't know that song that you just said. I don't know what that is.
Look it up.
Look it up.
Look it up.
In your face. Look it up.
He just kicked dirt in my face.
He just won. He just won.
Yeah, he did. He just Lou Pinella'd me. Motherfucker. Well, fuck me, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you do your one, King?
My number one, because again, I'm going on confusion, right?
Yeah.
Want to get in someone's head. So as a white guy, you know, I'm walking up to this.
Perfect. It's perfect.
I play for the Marlins, baby. Why do I got that N-Y-A over my E in my name? No one knows.
N-Y-A.
Or do I? Who knows? It's a mystery.
It's a great song.
Jim Larranaga, the coach for the Miami Hurricanes basketball, right? He was a coach of, George Mason? And he was Jim Larranaga and his son, Jay Larranaga is an assistant coach, the LA Clippers, right? But when Jim Larranaga took the Miami job, he suddenly got an N-Y-A and he is now Jim Larranaga.
Larranaga.
It's incredible.
Oh yeah.
I had heard that before and thought it was a joke. And then during March Madness, I was like, he does have the fucking N-Y-A and his son Jay absolutely does not.
I say this as the whitest person in this chat, but anybody with somewhat brown skin who takes a job in the Miami area, they're Cuban, right? That's sort of what happens, right? Suddenly they're Cuban. They're Dominican. Yeah, that's how this works.
I saw that a Miami reporter said, Mario Cristobal stopped practice briefly today because they weren't intense enough. Ooh. Oh, the U is back, baby.
They're gonna get that 3rd-and-7 dive play right.
No, they're gonna get I don't know who they play in week 2. I'll just make it up. They play Temple.
Sure.
It's 3-0 Hurricanes. It does not matter. They've played 4 minutes in the first quarter. Mario has called his second time out because he's casual Cristobal. And then what happens? False start. Why? 100%. I don't know.
No, because delay a game.
It just happens a lot.
Delay a game out of the timeout.
Yeah.
Like, Miami week two is at home against Southern Miss.
Oh, the Golden Eagles.
Throw out the records. Yeah.
Throw out the records. When the Golden Eagles walk into Hard Rock Stadium. I'm not rooting against Mario, but it is going to be funny just to see his flaws. When Miami fans finally are like, fuck, he really can't. He really is bad with clock management.
This is the same thing we had with Manny Diaz.
Let's hire the next Cuban guy.
Yeah. How many more Cuban guys are there?
Was Manny Diaz actually Cuban, or did they make him Cuban?
No, he is Cuban. He is
Cuban. All right. So they didn't just make him Cuban. All right.
Yeah, because I got to say, Diaz doesn't sound like a Cuban. I don't know. I'm not a Cuban expert. But
no, he is Cuban. His dad was the mayor of Miami.
Okay, fair enough.
And he went to Florida State. Manny did, so.
They fired the son of the mayor of Miami?
Yeah, former mayor. I think the present mayor is like a crypto guy, which is very Miami.
All right, perfect. So we're talking politics. Let's talk Supreme Court for the last 4 minutes, right? No, I'm just kidding.
KBJ, right. Yeah. Eat that shit, Mitch McConnell. Matt Gaetz of hell.
Didn't that dude like have some inappropriate shit with underage girls or something?
Allegedly.
Man, that
everything. We're not doing politics. We're not doing politics.
We're not.
We're not.
Let's make it clear.
We are not doing politics. But why are all these right wing conspiracies about pedophiles? After Pizzagate, when they just made up a basement full of children, child trafficking, sex crimes, and they're like, oh, there actually isn't even a basement there. Why? Move on. Play a different song. Like,
you go with the hits,
listen,
right?
I got Spotify. I got Spotify. It gives you the same damn song on every fucking list. It just, I get it. But you want to know what? Hit skip. Play something different. They're not pedophile. Like, how
get
is
creative.
How is Disney a groomers and pedophiles? It's Disney. It's Goofy. It's Donald. They don't care. Donald Duck was reading like Mein Kampf or whatever the hell that is. Like, now we're being pure about Disney. What is going on? Disney paid Lake Seastrunk.
Now that is the conspiracy I'm here for. Oh yeah,
Bob Iger.
Let's bring back some Chip Kelly era conspiracy.
Willie Lyles in bed together.
I am a little disappointed that you did call him by his real name, Lake. Because it would always be Lachey. It's Lachey.
Michael Eisner, a direct funnel to Lachey Seastrunk.
Oh! Ah! Michael James would have never been in Oregon if it wasn't for Disney.
Marcus Mariota was funded by WALL-E.
No, he was. What's that?
Brian Bennett.
Moana.
You're Moana. Oh, God. All right. Thank you for listening. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jeromini. He's Ski at TSB Ski. Bye.